Well, three readings. And from them, really, three words. Come. Stay. The word abide, of course, in the actual version of John 15, but it means stay. Come. Stay. Go. Three things which are actually not only what the Lord says to his disciple, but they are commands to his disciples. They're things he calls upon his people to do. They might seem at first sight difficult to harmonize, but they're not. Nothing contradicts anything else in those three, and we'll see that in a moment. But in Matthew 11, verse 28, his call, his invitation is come. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In John 15, he teaches his disciples that they must stay. Abide is the word. Abide in me, and I in you. But it means, of course, stay. We must stay firmly fixed in our relationship with him in the ongoing life of Christian faith. And then, of course, in Matthew 28, perhaps most familiarly of all, what we call the Great Commission, the Gospel Commission, not just for those first disciples, but for all the followers of Jesus Christ in all the ages until he comes again. That commission until the end of the age and to all the world. It didn't happen for those first disciples. They didn't get into all the world. They did remarkable things with God's hands upon them. But the commission goes beyond until he comes again. Go. Go and teach all nations. Go and take my word. Go and make disciples. Come. Stay. Go. I want to see tonight how these speak to us at this beginning of a new year, if we're believing Christians, as what our Christian life should actually involve. Trusting him as Saviour, following him as Lord. It's all in these three words. Does the third one contradict the other two? No, not a bit of it. Come, stay, go. They fit together and they remain together in our Christian experience as we seek by God's help and grace to walk as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ in biblical obedience. So let's look at them one by one, what they have to say to us, what they have to teach us. So come first to Matthew 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus Christ calls all who are at the end of their tether, all that are weighed down, all that are weary, all that are just borne down by their life or this world, come. Come to me. Of course, in the first place, it is an invitation in full gospel terms, come to the Saviour. For those who don't know him as Saviour, for those who are not trusting him as Lord, he calls, come to me. Much of what we're going on to look at will speak to those who are trusting in Jesus, who are following him. But you know, you can't follow until you've come. Here's a call to come to him as the one who can meet our need. All who labor and are heavy laden, all who are weighed down by the burden of life, who are stressed, who are unsatisfied by the things of this world, all that are at the end of their tether and don't know where to turn. How many that describes today? If only they would then heed what Jesus says. Come to me. Turn to me. Trust in me. No one's excluded, are they, by the way that this invitation is couched? All who are weary, all who labour, all are heavy laden. We all know what it is, don't we, at some time? We all know what it is to feel burdened and weighted down by the pressures of life and the world around us. And we all recognise in the terms of this invitation something that we need. We need rest from this burden. Jesus says, come to me and I will lift your burden and I will give you rest. See, above all, he is speaking about that burden, which is the greatest burden of all, though so many pretend it's not there, deny it, refuse it. But that burden is what the Bible calls sin. And what is sin? It's disobedience to God. It's that which separates us from God. It's breaking God's law. And all have sinned, everyone, every one of us. Come to me, all you that have that burden. The burden that means we are answerable to a holy God, and without someone to lift that burden, well, we've had it, haven't we? The God who must judge and condemn and punish sin, because that's what it means that he is holy. What can free us from the burden that prevents us from knowing him? Only the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, to bear our sin. Bunyan's great Christian classic, Pilgrim's Progress, not as well known today as it once was, but it has as its central character that the pilgrim, that he gives the name Christian, that's what he becomes. First, he's weighed down by a great burden on his back. And he can't deal with it. He can't get rid of it. He can't be free of it. But he meets a man called Evangelist. An evangelist points him to the cross. He comes to the cross, and at the feet of Jesus, he kneels, and that burden just rolls away, falls from his back, and he bears it no more. In the simplest terms, have you come to the cross of Christ? Do you know that great burden has gone because he has borne it? Because he has borne your sin, your guilt, your punishment. He promises rest if you come. Rest which is above all the rest of peace with God. He calls us so graciously. It's God's grace alone which can open our eyes to our need and our hearts to trust and receive. But the call is issued to all. Have you heard it? May God's grace open every eye that's here and every heart that's here to hear, to heed that call. Oh, there's a longing here. There's the longing of the heart of Jesus. There's a love, there's a compassion. Earlier in the chapter, he's spoken of those who will not come to him because they will not acknowledge that they need him, and they refuse his mercy, and they will not turn from their sin and trust in him, and they remain under God's judgment. But he calls. He calls to anyone and everyone who will hear, who feel the weariness of a burdened soul before a holy God. Come to me and you will find rest for your souls. Rest from that crushing burden, that separation from God which sin causes. Have you heard his call? Have you come? But notice that this rest is not a rest of idleness. I think it was J.C. Ryle, that great Bishop of Liverpool in an earlier generation, who said, God never yet called anyone to come and be idle. We're called to know him as Master and Lord as well as Saviour, and we're called to follow him, and he uses the image of taking his yoke. Now, the yoke was that wooden bar which fitted across the back of a pair of oxen, a team of oxen. The yoke fitted, and by it, their master controlled them, controlled where they went, turned them in direction, and they were under the yoke, as it were. Well, come to Christ, and we're told we're under a yoke, but it's the yoke of a loving, caring master. It's the direction of a master who has only our best interests at heart. The yoke showed that the oxen belonged to its master and was under its direction. And we, if we are believers, we belong to Christ. We're under his direction. He says, learn of me, learn of me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. So it's incredible when you think who's speaking. This is the Son of God. This is the eternal one who became man that he might become our Savior. And what kind of man was he? He was gentle and lowly in heart. He was meek and humble. He who, if I could almost put it this way without it being, I hope, blasphemous, who had any right to be proud, the very Son of God, the Lord of glory, he had no pride. I'm among you as one who serves. I came not to be served, but to serve others. The gentle and mild and merciful Jesus, come to me. Follow me. Be with me. Now, in what sense is the yoke he lays on his people easy and light? Well, compared with the yoke of sin. Compared with the burden from which he sets us free at the cross. We have a Lord who cares for us as our best interests at heart, knows them better than we do ourselves. Now, following him, serving him, living as a Christian in a world that's in rebellion against him, opposed to all that seek to serve him, remember, is a hard path at times. And he said it would be. Made no bones about it. Never said, follow me and you'll have an easy life. Never said, follow me and it's roses, roses all the way to glory. Some people almost teach that. He said, in this world you will have trouble, tribulation. Not you might, you will. You will. In this world you will have tribulation, but, take heart. I have overcome the world. The yoke upon his people is a light burden compared to life under the burden of sin, under God's judgment, under God's condemnation, life without Jesus. How many are finding that and yet will not turn to him? Dear friends, his burden is light, his service is joyful, his care is constant. His presence with us is assured, even at the most difficult times. And then beyond this life, there's that wonder that waits for us. Paul could say, near the end of his life, knowing that he was soon going to die a martyr's death, he said, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Henceforth is there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Come to me. But move on. Secondly, John chapter 15. Here Jesus says to his disciples, stay. Stay with me. Even more, stay in me. The image of the vine and the branches, stay rooted in me. Yes, the word in our English versions is abide. Abide in me and I in you. Jesus is talking about himself. We read the verses, the true vine. Why the true vine? Because in the Old Testament, the vine was a picture of Israel. Symbol used in several Old Testament passages. And the vine or the vineyard sometimes that God has given and planted his people in the world to bear fruit for him. And sadly, Israel as a nation failed to bear fruit. What says Jesus? I am the true vine. I am the one, the Son of God come into the world, the true Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world. And all who will trust me and come to me, I've come for you. And you will find rest. But I am the vine, the true vine, the one that really does bear fruit to the glory of God. And you are the branches. You see, get the point. Branches, like the branches of a tree, come to that. Rooted in the vine. They have no independent life, do they? You break a branch off a tree or off a vine and it's a dead thing. Got no life of its own. It derives its life only from the tree, the vine, the master plant. Only those branches that are rooted in the vine, drawing their life from the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him and walking in obedience by his own help and grace, only they can bear fruit, because it's his life in us. So he bids his disciples, again both those first disciples and his people down through the ages, abide in me, stay in me. Keep your relationship with me constant. Stay rooted like the branch in the vine, and draw your spiritual life from me, who is its only true source. What sustains us in our Christian life? It's the life of Christ in us. Paul can say, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What it is to know the assurance of not only that he calls us, but that he promises us, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. Stay rooted in Jesus. What does that mean? To abide is to be where you belong, where you're at home. As believers, we abide in the Saviour. We're at home in the deepest sense in him. This is the most familiar phrase that Paul uses in all his letters for a Christian, someone who is in Christ. In Christ. Rooted in Christ, their life derived from Christ, Christ's life given in him, to us. Abide. There's a noun that we don't so often use now, abode. Using the phrase no fixed abode when someone is picked up by the police for vagrancy or in a court and they've got no fixed abode. They have no address, they've got nowhere that they live, they haven't got anywhere that they abide. Christian, we are to abide in Christ. Actually, look back just one chapter to chapter 14 of John's Gospel, and lovely verses at the beginning of it. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. Now, most of us here, or at least all of us of a certain age, will have grown up on the Authorized Version, and will remember the lovely image, in my Father's house are many mansions. And it sounds great, and there are. The wonders of heaven, the wonders of glory, we can't even begin really to anticipate what they'll be like. But actually, mansions is not a very good translation of the word that is used in the Greek. Jesus is not at this point talking about the glory of heaven, he's talking about belonging there. And rooms, well, rooms is flat and colourless, isn't it? In the ESV and all modern versions, in my Father's house are many rooms. The word is actually connected exactly with this verb, to abide. It should be translated, many abiding places, many abodes, many places where you, my people, belong. There's a place for you, there's a home for you. You belong there. It's where you will be ever, at rest and at home. And I go to prepare an abiding place for you. And that security, that assurance, starts here and now if we have come to Christ and are truly trusting in him. And he says, well, maintain that relationship. Abide in me, stay rooted in me. Abide in the closeness of obedient following of Jesus. And if you abide in me, you will bear fruit, verse 5. The only way actually to be a fruitful Christian, the only way to have a life that really does honour God and witness for him powerfully, is where the life of Christ, the life of the vine, if you like, is in us, the branches. Branch can't operate independently, can it? I said break it off, it's a dead thing. No branch has an independent life. No Christian really should have an independent life. It's Christ in us. Stay fixed, stay rooted. Walk in faith, walk in obedience. Take no notice, turn away from those things that tempt us to turn aside from him and draw us into the way of the world. His word in our hearts is the antidote to that sometimes tempting allure of the world. Abide, stay. It's where you belong, so stay there. Stay rooted. Well, we can't abide unless we've come first, can we? You can't stay somewhere you haven't got to. You've got to come first and then to abide. And here's an incredible promise. Come to me. And he says in John 6, verse 31, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. In the deepest and fullest truth of all, the grace of God is what holds us and keeps us. He opens our hearts by grace. He holds us by grace. And our assurance is that, well, our security is not a case of our simply hanging on to him. What security will we have? I know myself, you know yourself. If it was a case of us hanging on to Christ, what security would we have? It's him hanging on, holding on to us. He won't let us go. He won't cast us out. But we are called, aren't we, by all that's in us. Abide, rest, stay. New Testament constantly presents two things. That God is a sovereign God and all things are in his hands. And that as his people, we have a responsibility. And the marriage or the coming together of these two things may be beyond our real understanding. But they're both there. They're there side by side. We are to strive to keep close to him. And he keeps us by his grace. And both are true. And if you abide in him, in this image of the vine, he says, that's how you'll bear fruit. The great C.H. Spurgeon, we're told, used to pray every day, Lord, make me a fruit-bearing branch. Lord, make me a fruit-bearing branch. Don't you want to be a fruit-bearing branch for Jesus? Come, stay, and then, seeming almost a contradiction, though of course it's not, go. Go. That great commission, as we so often call it, at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always. To the end of the age. Go. The gospel commission given by Jesus, I've said before, not just to those first apostles, the ones he actually sent out himself. That's what an apostle is. It's why they stop with that generation, real apostles. The apostle is one commissioned and sent by Jesus personally in the face-to-face sense. So the apostles are sent, but the commission is not just for them. It's until I come, it's into all the world. Go. Christian, go with the gospel. Go, make disciples. That is, preach the gospel through which God and his grace will do his work of sovereign salvation. For our part, go and tell them. Tell them why they need a saviour. Tell them how Jesus and Jesus alone is the saviour they need. But then notice this before we leave it. What is the grounds of the commission? All authority has been given to me, says Jesus. We don't go in our own authority. We don't go in the authority of the church. We go in his authority. the greatest authority in the universe, the supreme authority in the universe. All authority is given to me. Go therefore. And we don't go alone. I am with you always. It says not go away from me. It doesn't contradict come and abide. It's go with me. And I with you. I am with you always. Abide in me and I in you. I'm still abiding in you. As and when you take this commission as you should and follow it. Every Christian is called to be part of that commission. We are all to be, as a phrase Paul uses in 2 Corinthians 5, gospel ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? Well, he has a commission to present the message that he is given by those whose authority he represents. It's an unchanging message. It's a non-negotiable message. He doesn't make it up as he goes along. Not a true ambassador. He presents the message that he has been given. And the message that we have been given is the message of this commission, that Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. That Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ calls us to come to him. And he will give us rest and he will take the burden away. He calls us then to stay rooted in him, to abide in him, and to draw all that we need from him and his spiritual strength, his life in us. But he's with us. He's with us no matter what. Of course we know our weakness. Of course we know our failing. Of course we know the battle with sin goes on at times, doesn't it? In fact, the battle with sin will never be over in this life. Read Paul in Romans 7 if you doubt that. At times we lose the sense of his presence, and at times we experience little sense of his power because of our sin. But he is gracious. He is gracious. He will never cast us out. He will restore us. He will bring us back as we fall, though it may be through chastening. He will bring us to repentance, but he is with us. Is the source of spiritual fruit and spiritual power. But we are called again to walk in obedience, aren't we? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, here is a great commandment. Go. Go with my gospel. Take it, spread it, preach it, declare it, proclaim it. Tell them about me. Tell them their need of me. Tell them that I and I alone am the answer to that need. What does Paul say in Romans 10? He speaks of how everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he says, but how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Doesn't mean doing this formally necessarily. How can they hear without someone telling them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? How can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless someone tells them? How can they believe without being told? How can they be told unless someone is sent to tell them? And we are sent. This is the commission. We are sent. Go with my gospel. Our commitment to the gospel commission is the essence of our commitment to Christ himself. Come. Stay. Go. All vital to our Christian lives and all to be held in harness together. Come to him as Saviour. Stay in him as our all-gracious and all-enabling Lord. Go for him, with him, in him, in glad gospel service. Oh, that this may be true of us as we enter now another new year to his glory. Amen.